The Bible says in verse 13 now of chapter 24, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now, this is after the crucifixion. So this is the resurrected Christ. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Skip down to verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" The burning of the heart toward God could be our number one need in our churches today. The burning of the heart. We have principles and procedures and programs galore in our churches. What we really need is more passion for what we're doing. Passion for the work of the ministry. Passion for winning the lost. Passion for serving God. That's lacking. Our doctrine is straight. And we're happy about that. Our practice is improving. It's our intensity and our fervor that often lacks. Our fervor. We do things half-heartedly. What's wrong with us? Oh, we have computers and resources and cell phones and Facebook and texting and blogs and websites and affluency galore today. What we need, though, is more enthusiasm and zeal for the work of God again. We become so distracted. We become numb toward the things of God. Ho-hum toward our ministry in the church. Ho-hum toward our church. Ho-hum toward Christ. We've never had more books, software, computer programs, and knowledge at our fingertips, and they're helpful, but we've rarely had less emotion and fire than we do today in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. Many times, listen to me carefully, we're just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. I'm pleading with you tonight that we need to experience that burning in our heart for the things of God again. Brethren, we need the passion for Christ that caused Fanny Crosby to write, "I am thine, O Lord, and I heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me." Now listen to this. "But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee." She writes, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." And then she comes to the chorus, and she wasn't dwelling on her problems like so often we do. She wasn't dwelling on the hurts that had taken place in her life. She wasn't dwelling on she was misunderstood. She didn't do that. No, she writes in the chorus, "Draw me nearer." That's what she was dwelling on. "Lord, I need to get closer to you. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side." That's the kind of passion you and I need. It's the same passion that was burning in Anne Hawks when she wrote and penned these words, "I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I believe this is why standards are slipping today in our churches. Listen to me now. I believe there's no burning for the things of God. We have it up here, but the burning in our heart for it has been sadly lacking for a while, and we don't do anything about it. Even the evangelist comes by and we have revival, but there's no burning. There's no response to the matter of burning in our heart for the things of God. I believe it's why there's less emphasis on holiness. I believe it's why there's fewer going out to witness. Fewer are even under conviction to witness to anybody. Fewer going into the ministry. I believe it's why there's less interest in Bible study. Man, when I went to Brogue in 1990, I put out to the people, though he had died, they loved him. They believed in him. Remember that Christ had prayed for them that their faith fail not. And indeed, their faith had not failed. They loved their memory of him and his ministry on earth and their walking and talking with him. They remembered the crowds. They rehearsed his teaching and his miracles and his handling of situations. And they cherished all of their memories of walking with Christ. However, as you listen to them for a moment, you discover something else about these disciples on the way to Emmaus. They lacked something. Hope is confident assurance, and they had lost their hope. In verse 17, Christ noticed their obvious sadness. Their obvious sadness. They had lost their confidence in his ability, in Christ's ability, to fulfill what they thought he came to do and what they thought that he was doing. And so in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21, you go there, and I'll lubricate my voice here. Sorry about that. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Luke 24, 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Their expectations. They thought that he was going to deliver Israel from the Roman Empire. And so they were discouraged. They had lost hope. They were sad. Already on this resurrection day, they were on the move to Emmaus. So first, they still possess some things. And they lack something too, which is hope. And maybe that describes you. Maybe you still possess some things, but you lack some hope in your life. And things have happened in your life, and you're not sure how things are going to work out, and you have lost some hope. I don't know. But maybe you say, well, what's the use? And even at the point of feeling like you're going to quit, maybe you feel like that. But we also see that there was a cooling of their enthusiasm that went along with this. During Christ's ministry, they had preached, they had healed the sick, but now the fire that they used to have was burning low. Their gloomy countenance that Christ noticed expressed no vision, no victory, no future, no burden. And by the way, that's a picture of a lot of Christians that I know today. Their setbacks and their disappointed expectations have shaken their hope and their trust and their fervor for the Lord, and their heart is no longer burning. They're going through the motions, but their heart's not burning. At best, it's smoldering. I wonder, does that describe your heart condition tonight? Brother, sister, how about it, teenager, senior saint? How about it, young adult? Could it be that God is trying to get your attention, that your fire is burning low, and that you need the embers of your heart fanned for the flames to rise again? They certainly needed that. Those two needed that, and Christ knew it. Then notice finally in this opening point that he was so near to them. Listen to me now. And yet, they didn't recognize his nearness. They faced a shadowy future. They didn't know what was going to happen, but Christ was with them. He's walking with them. And the Bible says that their eyes were holden. The Bible word holden means held fast or seized. It was focused on their situation to the exclusion of everything else. You know, some of us are like that. We get zeroed in. I mean, this is the only thing that matters. This is the situation that we magnify, and boy, we put the scope on it. This is what really is important, and we miss the bigger picture of what God's doing. And so they were so perplexed by their uncertain future and the events that had just transpired where they lost Christ, he died, that they had no clear vision to understand that this was Jesus Christ walking with them on the road to Emmaus. They missed it, totally missed Christ in their midst. And dear friend, though we may not recognize him, he's with us. In our days of sadness and when our lives are turned upside down or when we're defeated or when we're hurt, he wants to lift us and encourage us. He wants to heal us. Amen. Don't miss his presence with you. He's not left you. Listen, if you're his child, he has not left you. Whatever you've gone through, whatever hurt you've gone through, whatever bitterness has cropped up, Jesus Christ is with you, and he wants the passion to burn hot again. The burning of the heart. From the background, we learn that he wants our heart to burn again. Secondly now, what should our hearts burn for? What should they burn for? We observe that their heart burned to return to the days of the past when they walked with Christ and they saw Christ do great things. And those were their best days. And dear friend, there ought to be a burning in us for our best days spiritually. We ought to yearn for our best days. Not just whatever will be, but we shouldn't be satisfied with the status quo and business as usual. Don't be satisfied with your current level of growth. No, we ought to burn in our heart for our best and our closest spiritual days that we've ever had. We can have those close days. That's what revival will bring. If we truly are revived, we will be on course for our best spiritual days. And that brings up a very good question. When were you the closest to Christ in your life? Think back now. When were you walking the closest that you've ever walked with the Lord? Was it when you were first saved, maybe? Maybe that was it. Or at camp, in high school, maybe at college, maybe in the armed services. Maybe it was at a certain church, or maybe even at this church at one time you were really close to the Lord. Maybe it was when you started in your first ministry of the church and you got involved, and that was when you felt the closest. Maybe it was when you got that first Bible and you started reading the Bible and you felt very close to him. When did you feel him nearest? When was that? When were you growing in Christ the fastest? When was that? Brethren, there ought to be a burning in you for those blessed days to return until you can say, today is the closest that I have ever been to Jesus Christ. That's what revival is all about. It brings us back to growing. It brings us back to fervor for the Lord. It brings us back to burning and having a fervency for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Secondly, there ought to be a burning in you for this church's best days. Not only your best days, but this church's. I mean, in the early days, some folks wanted to obey God and start this church for the glory of God. And there had to be a fervor and excitement in those days to have Bible study and reach souls for Christ and visitation. There had to be a vision. Somebody had to have a vision. But there should be a burning in this generation. There ought to be a burning in this group. All right, you've inherited this church maybe. Maybe you found this church. I don't know how it all fit together. But you're here. Now there ought to be that same burning and passion of those early days that comes back on you in this church today. This church can reach this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe there's great hope here for that to happen. Did you know that in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of burning? We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of burning. May God refresh us to have our best spiritual days again, like they wanted to have, I'm sure. And God stir us with a passion for the best days of this church. And this is how I think. When I was a pastor, I thought to myself, we're going to have the best days this church in this church's history just coming up. They're just ahead. I mean, we're going to see God do great things around here. And God brought it to fruition. There was a burning in my heart for that to happen. And the burning got into the congregation and people began being faithful and committing and volunteering and getting involved and reaching people and bringing people to church. And glory to God, we had some of our best days. Now my son's a pastor. He believes the same thing. Well, now the best days are now. They're having great days today, but they were great when we were there. There ought to be, thirdly, a burning in our hearts for the days of revival like God poured out on his people in times past. A desire for that. There's too much negativity. We have the same God today that they did. And our God is no respecter of what? Persons. So what he did for them, he can do for us. We need to see our sinfulness, however, as exceeding sinful. And we need a brokenness and a humility before a holy God. Maybe God is showing you how lukewarm you've really been. As you compare yourself to where your highest point was, maybe God is showing you that you need to get on fire for the Lord again. You need to fan those flames. They burned down lower than you had imagined. And now it's time, revival time, for the revival fires. That's what's talking about, revival fires. Fan those flames. Get it going again. These two disciples recalled the former days of blessing with great burning in their heart. And I wonder how it is with you now. Don't you want your heart to be stirred spiritually to its highest, to its hottest fervor ever in your life? I mean, this revival's a time to reset our lives spiritually. And wherever we are, we need to get back to the fire of burning in our hearts for God, doing things with fervency. Don't you hunger for your children to witness the greatest move of God in their lifetime right here at this church? Don't you want that to happen? Boy, if I were in this church, I'd want that. Teenagers can burn in their hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ too. I've seen whole church set on fire because the teenagers got on fire. Started praying, seeking God, asking God. When you get serious about praying specifically, believing God for great things, woo! I mean, revival's right around the corner in your life and in others too, in your church. So we know that there's not much time before Christ appears. This is our day to burn, and we ought to burn for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what should our hearts burn for? Not only for the past days of fire and fervency to return, but their hearts burned for the Word of God. Look now at Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. The Bible says, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He expounded to them the Bible, and their hearts burned hotter and hotter. The more of his word that they heard, the more that they burned in their heart. Oh, man, this is great stuff. I want to hear more. I want to know more. And they became very hungry to know more. Their hearts burned, and our hearts need that burning again for a knowledge of his word. Listen to me carefully now. You and I have not arrived in our Bible knowledge. I don't care how much you know. You and I have not arrived. There's more to learn. I mean, beside my bedstead for a while, I have the book that's back there that we have on how to study the Bible. And I'm 66 years old. I've been preaching and in the ministry for over 40 years. But I haven't attained. I want you to know I'm a learner. I want it more. I want to dig it out more. I want to learn how to better study the Bible, Brother Rosendo. I want to learn that book. And I haven't conquered it, and I'm going to keep after it. Amen. And we ought to have that desire. We're not doing as well as we credit ourselves for. We need to view ourselves as pygmies when it comes to the knowledge of God and his word. We haven't learned enough or applied enough. The Bible needs to become a magnet to us, drawing us again. I used to come back home from secular work, could hardly wait to get home to Shirley, and I probably had babies at that time, and my Bible, and sit down with my Bible and spend precious time in the Word of God. Well, the Bible needs to become that magnet again. We need to make a study of God's word again. Listen, yes, reading is good, but your little 5-minute reading every day is not going to feed your soul. It's not showing that you're burning for the word of God. There has to be more time set aside, squeezed out of a busy life, move other things out of the way. This is priority. Say, I don't see in my life where I have time. Maybe a little less social media would give you more time in the word. Maybe a little less TV, maybe a little less sports, but a little less recreation, maybe a little less dawdling. Somewhere you can find time for everything that you want to do. The problem is what you want. What do you want? It ought to be burning in your heart that you want the Word of God. So this ought to be the priority. Find time for the priority. We need to make a study of God's Word. We need to burn in our hearts more for God's Word. And you'll know when this happens, because as you're burning in your heart and you're taking time to read God's Word and you're learning things as you're following along and you're reading in the Scriptures, you know what'll happen? God will start showing you truths. I mean showing you nuggets like you haven't seen for a month of Sundays. And you say, man, I'm going to forget that if I don't take notes on that. You'll write notes out to the side of your Bible, or you'll get a notebook and you'll keep notes of what you're learning, and you won't want to forget what you're learning. So show some burning in your heart for the Word of God and write down what you're learning. We had a family, I was telling somebody today, we had a family come to our church. And it's not like it used to be out in soul winning. When you win somebody to Christ, they don't know anything about the Bible. And we won this fellow to the Lord. And he said he came to church once, and we went out and visited him, follow up. And he said, I heard you mention Matthew and Mark or something like that in your message. Now, just who are they? I said, well, they were two of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, and they each wrote a book in the New Testament, and I showed him the Bible. But he didn't know anything. And so many people that we find today are like that. And so it will become something that you look forward to again, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. You'll value it, every truth so much that you won't want to forget it. The Bible says, blessed is the man that whose delight is in the law of the Lord, that's the Bible, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to be that blessed man? You want to be that blessed person? Meditate in God's word day and night. Too often, if maybe one day a week, and then we pull the Bible out and dust it off to go to church on Sunday. That's not how God intended for us to use his word. The psalmist said, How love I thy law. One of the great things that happened to me as a teenager was I read that and I confessed to the Lord that night as a teenager. I said, Lord, I don't have that. I don't have a love for your word. I have a copy of your word and I read it. And I read it through even as a kid. But I didn't love it. There's a difference. I preached this in our home church about loving the word, and my grandson came forward. And when they went home that night, he told his father, my son, Dad, he asked him, what'd you go forward for, Brandon? And he said, Dad, I don't have what Papa has. I don't have that love for the word, and I want that love. Brother, that's what you and I need, is a love for the word. That's what I'm talking about, the passion, it burning in our hearts again. It ought to happen. This is revival. These are the times that it happens. Finally, third thought, when did they burn? I mean, you say, well, if I could see from the scripture when they burned in within them, when their heart burned, I would do my best to meet the same qualifications, preacher. So let's contrast verse 16 and verse 31. Look at it there with me. Verse 16, their eyes were holden. Verse 31, oh, and their eyes were opened. That's a contrast. One place they're blocked, in the other one they're open. And in verse 16, it says that they should not know him. Verse 31, when their eyes were open, they knew him. Amen. Now, what a progression here. Now, how did this change take place? There are three keys that changed them, and I'm finished. Look at verse 28, 29, and see when they burned. When did they burn? Number one, it was when they invited him in. In Luke 24:28, and they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and they made as though he would have gone a little further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. There's the invitation, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in and tarried with them. We know that Jesus Christ approached them as they were walking along the road without them asking him. We know that he taught them as they were walking along the road without them asking him, but he would not abide with them without being asked, without being invited. And if we want him to come into our daily lives and abide with us, we're going to have to make time for him and invite him to do it. He will not stay where he's not invited. Have you invited his abiding presence in your life? Have you done that? Something else here in this first part, where Christ is invited as a guest, he becomes the host. Notice this. They invited him in, but look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. First, he must be invited in to abide with you, but then he wants to govern your life. He wants to take the lead. He wants to be the host. And notice that what he does in governing our lives, he orders our lives. He blesses. He gives to us. That's what the verse says. Have you invited him into your daily life? I know you're busy. I know I'm busy. I know life is crazy busy today. I know we're in an information age and we're blasted with so much information, and there's almost this quest, what happened now? I want to see what's the latest. Okay, and we get so absorbed with all of that that sometimes we're missing the inviting of the Lord in and the opening of the scriptures. When did they burn? Not only when they invited him in, but I want you to see something else. It was when they heard him speak. They burned when they heard him speak. It says in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? I want you to notice, as I meditated on this, I thought of a couple things. Their heart did not burn while they were doing the talking to him. Their heart did not burn while they talked about him. It was that their heart burned while he talked with them, and they listened. Woo. Their hearts did not burn while they were whining, and neither will yours. Whining about every little thing that happens in your life, like you are the center of the universe, and everything revolves around how you feel. That's not it. Their heart did not burn while they were whining. It was not while they were complaining or questioning or crying or arguing or feeling sorry for themselves that their heart burned. Rather, it was when they had ceased their talk, zipped it, and they were silent, listening, and the fire burned in their heart. That's our problem. I wonder how long it's been since you were quiet enough, long enough for him to speak to your heart. Now, I'm talking to youth, I'm talking to senior saints, every person in here. We sing and talk about wait on the Lord. Oh, we sing about waiting on the Lord. But we practice just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Just a little talk. Just a couple minutes. And that is important, but it's not the whole ball of wax. If you're burning in your heart, there's more time spent talking to him. It's no wonder that we're so anemic and weak when Isaiah chapter 40 tells us the ones who will have their strength renewed, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We Baptists are far too time conscious about our services, about our time with God every day. My, oh my, ooh, I got to get going. I better just cut it off right here with my Bible reading. Ooh, I got to get going. I better cut my prayer time off here. Why? Well, there's something important that I got to get to. Why didn't you start earlier? Shame on all of us. Let those in a hurry or who have to leave the services, let them leave. Sometimes the work of the heart takes time. Sometimes it takes being quiet before him. It's time to do business with God. However long it takes, we ought to be willing to take the time to let God work on us. This generation loves its noise. One writer said that we have today noisy souls. We're always in a quest for noise. Young people today think quietness is boring and soft music or quiet music is boring and they have to have their noise. And I'm not talking about just teens. I'm talking about adults now have to have their radio, their TV in the background, their CD, their cell phone, their computer, something going. They have to have their noise. But in the Bible, God spoke to Elijah in a what? Still small voice. God is still trying to speak to his people today. Too often we just simply haven't listened. There's no dedication of time to listen. We haven't been quiet enough, long enough. We're talking too much to listen. We're too busy to listen. We haven't sat still long enough to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Our ears are too full of the noise of this world. Listen to me now. And neither has our heart burned toward God, toward the things of God. Could I ask you, do you really want the fire to burn in your heart? Do you? We're talking about revival fires now. It will when you invite him in to come in and abide. Make room for him every day. It will happen. The fire will burn when we are quiet enough to hear him speak. And thirdly, finally, when he opens to us the scriptures. Their heart burned when he opened to them the scriptures. In verse 32 again, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What new truth did he tell them? He didn't. Nothing, just the old truth. But the old message came again at just the time that it was needed, and their heart burned within them. For example, we find the same thing happening in Jeremiah chapter 20. If you go there, we'll finish with this verse. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah had become disheartened. He was just about to quit. Maybe you feel like that sometimes. But God used his word to make Jeremiah's heart burn again. And it says in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. There's the discouragement. But his word was in mine heart as a what? Burning fire. There it is. A burning fire. His word was a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Jeremiah had known in the past what it was to burn. However, he had cooled off. Maybe you've cooled off as we're going into this revival. Maybe you've cooled off like Jeremiah. Still going through the motions, he was, but no fire, no passion for what he was doing. Still serving in your position, but no closeness and no vision for what you're doing. But God opened the scripture to Jeremiah again and made it like a live coal burning inside him. And the burning kept Jeremiah going. A refining fire. The burning kept these two disciples going. And saints, this is what we need to keep going. The burning of the heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed now.